May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the Sundays of the season of Easter, we take a break from the Old Testament readings. And for the first reading each week, we spend some time reading from the Book of Acts, or the Acts of the Apostles. This account of the early church is part two of the Gospel according to St. Luke, written by the same writer to continue the story after Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension. The events in the Book of Acts follow the apostles and disciples, the early Christians, as the Jesus movement gained strength and followers beyond the lifetime of Jesus' earthly ministry and beyond the region around Jerusalem and Galilee. It does not recount absolutely everything the apostles did, but it contains certain highlights that were important to those earliest disciples. There are the important headline events, like the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the story of St. Stephen, first deacon and martyr, the conversion of Saul from persecutor of the church to Paul, apostle to the Gentiles. There are also some what we may now consider curious events, such as the story of Eutychus. He was another person raised from the dead, that time by Paul. Eutychus had fallen three stories out of a window after having fallen asleep while Paul was speaking for hours. The story is in Acts chapter 20, if you're interested in some further reading, and it's often referenced when you're reading articles about ministry to young people in the church as a cautionary tale. For the modern reader, the Acts of the Apostles contains the weird and wonderful. And through the various episodes, we learn about the life of the early church and that first generation of believers who were convinced of the power of Jesus and ensured that Jesus' saving power continued to be made known across the world and through the centuries. For today, we learn about Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. She lived in the port town of Joppa, and she must have been a woman of some means and skill, as she had the resources to provide tunics and clothing to the widows and orphans in need. She made these items as part of her good works and acts of charity. Dorcas was obviously dearly loved by her fellow disciples in Joppa. When she died, they treated her body with respect, and because they had heard that the Apostle Peter was nearby, they sent a request that he come to Joppa without delay. We are not told explicitly what their hope or expectation was, but they were moved to ask, and Peter comes. The widows that Dorcas helped are all there in the house where she is laid. They show Peter the fruits of her charity, the tunics and clothing, as well as those who wear them. In St. Silas Church in Albert Park, my previous parish, there's a stained glass window that shows Dorcas giving the clothing she has made to a widow with a young child. Dorcas Street in South Melbourne is so named because it was the location of the Canvas Town Hospital in the 1850s, run by the Dorcas Society in response to an outbreak of typhoid. Dorcas's legacy continued down the centuries. She wasn't motivated by personal glory. She devoted herself to good works as a response to following Jesus. Her motivation was to do good for those in need as one who followed the teachings of Jesus. The reason we know about Dorcas at all is not because of her charitable works, but because of the miracle Peter performs in the name of Jesus in raising Dorcas from death. Again, Peter was not motivated by seeking glory for himself. After Peter arrived in that upper room in Joppa and met the widows of the town, he sends them out and then he prays. After this prayer, Peter tells Dorcas, Tabitha, to get up, and she does. Those who are mourning her death then see that she is now alive. Peter doesn't act out of his own power. As he has said earlier in the book of Acts, all that he does, including the acts of power, are in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is the power of that name that brings wholeness and brings life. Just as Jesus performed miracles in the name of the one who sent him, so those that Jesus sent to proclaim God's kingdom perform healing in Jesus' name. God sent Jesus into the world. Jesus sent the apostles. And we continue to be sent so that more people can hear the voice of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, hear the good news of the kingdom of God, and come to know God's saving love. The act of bringing Dorcas back to life became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord as a result. Those of us gathered here may not be in the business of miracles as the apostles were, but we are the inheritors of the apostolic legacy. People come to faith ultimately through God's power, but there is no reason why we cannot be agents of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the lives of others. We can and should be Jesus' hands and feet, his heart and voice in the world today, so that by our words and actions, the glory of Jesus' name may be continued. There is a reason we distrust people who say one thing and do another. Whatever we do needs to be authentic if people are going to trust us and be moved by what we do. Hypocrisy erodes and destroys trust, and so in our context, it is as crucial as ever to examine why we do what we do. We need to continually come back to our core, which is loving others as Jesus loves us. Good works are one thing. Good motivations are important too. As Christians, all that we do should be motivated by the knowledge and acceptance of God's love for us. And all our actions should show that love to the world. If we in any way limit the expansive power of God's love, then that is not to the glory of Jesus' name. If in Jesus' name we cause harm of any kind, physical, emotional, spiritual, then we cannot claim to represent the voice of Jesus. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." A question for all of us collectively is, do we take the time to reflect and truly hear Jesus' voice? And will we be known by the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, in the way that we follow him? As we reflect on the Acts of the Apostles and the believers they encountered in the first years of what will become the Christian Church, and all that they did in Jesus' name, let us reflect on our own actions as believers and followers of Christ. What kind of church do we want people to encounter and experience? How can we act in Jesus' name in a way that will turn people's hearts and give space for the Holy Spirit to act? The Lord be with you.